Hoosier Ag This Week is on the air from Hoosier Ag Today. Welcome to the show. I'm Andy Eubank, and this weekend we wrap up the week in farm news with a look at what lies ahead this year for farm finances. We talk with the incoming executive director of the Indiana State Fair, Ray Allison, and how pork fits into the ultra-processed foods in Indiana schools debate. Joining me on the show are Eric Pfeiffer, Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, with the updated Indiana Farm Forecast. And let's check in right now with CJ Miller.
Thanks, Andy. Coming up, you'll hear more about the Blue and Gold Gala that's coming up to raise money for Indiana FFA. And you'll meet this year's newly crowned Indiana State Fair Queen.
Thanks, CJ. He'll be back very shortly with news of an important groundbreaking ceremony held this week. Brian Basting analyzes the week in the markets, too. We start with Indiana Farm Bureau members who were in Indianapolis Wednesday for their annual legislative forum to discuss policy priorities for the year and specific bills they're keeping a close eye on. Eric Pfeiffer was there.
INFB President Randy Crone says there is one bill in particular that is getting a lot of attention early in the session. House Bill 1064 is authored by INFB Vice President Kendall Culp, also a representative for District 16. The bill would make repeated operation of an unmanned aerial vehicle, or drone, over private real property a nuisance, with both civil and criminal penalties.
If you're around the Jay County area, there's been a lot this past year when avian influenza broke out and drones flying around and questioning, did they carry that in or not? You know, I'm not saying one way or another, don't know. But somebody with drones shouldn't be flying over our private property without permission.
There's also House Bill 1315 that could potentially dissolve townships.
What's being proposed will eliminate a lot of rural townships, the very small rural ones, and you know, our membership's interested. We've always said, no, we want to maintain township government, but our policy changed in August and said we're willing to have discussions and look, how do you do it efficient, but we want to make sure that we're not moving some of the costs from our cities and larger townships to the small rural ones.
That tax burden could shift if any of those townships were to get annexed. Crone says the best way to make your voice heard on these issues and others is to show up at the State House and speak directly with your legislator.
I always say every day's Farm Bureau Day at the State House. We generally have some members there every day talking about the issues that's important to them. And the lobbyists can back them up and help and reinforce and get to the details. But if they see constituents there and they care and they can explain how it impacts their farm, that makes the most difference, and that's critical. And that's how we get things done for Indiana Farm Bureau and for agriculture here in Indiana.
If you're interested in going to the State House, Crone encourages you to reach out to your County Farm Bureau or your Farm Bureau Regional Manager. From the State House, I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
There was a special groundbreaking ceremony this week in Noble County here in Indiana. CJ Miller has those details.
An official groundbreaking ceremony was held Thursday on a brand new $20 million egg processing facility in northeastern Indiana.
It's the right move for us as a company and a fantastic location and community presence here.
And that's Cody Herbrook, Associate Vice President of Operations for Herbrook's Poultry Ranch. The company is building a 75,000-square-foot facility in Kendallville, which is in Noble County, Indiana, just across the border from Michigan.
We're based out of Saranac, Michigan, where my grandpa and grandma founded the company back in 1958. But we have a lot of operations in the northern Indiana area and a lot of egg-laying hens here. And so for us, the timing was just right to have a processing plant here for those local eggs here right in Indiana.
Cody says the new facility will process about 420 million eggs each year.
It's a lot of eggs that it takes to feed America, and we're just a small piece of that to be part of people's breakfast every day.
He adds that both Indiana and Michigan provide outstanding opportunities, not just for the poultry industry, but for all of agriculture.
Michigan and Indiana just both have such a rich agricultural history, and the communities that we're able to be a part of are also a part of that rich agricultural history. And Kendallville to us was very similar to what we're used to in Michigan and in other parts of Indiana, where we're just able to find and plug into a great community and a great resource of people that enjoy food and enjoy agriculture and are excited along with us.
The new facility is expected to open in the spring and create 60 new jobs.
CJ Miller there, and CJ has more on that story at HoosierAgToday.com. Indiana Congressman Jim Baird was in and then out of the hospital after being involved in a hit-and-run crash Tuesday morning. Baird's son, Beau, a 4th District Indiana congressman, posted on social media that the U.S. congressman suffered minor injuries, but his wife, Denise, remained in the hospital in stable condition after receiving broken bones in the crash. The younger Baird said his father was in the hospital for less than 24 hours and walked away with nothing more than some road rash and bruising. Beau Baird added in a later post that there wasn't anything that suggested the crash in the Washington, D.C. area was politically motivated, but that it was a hit-and-run incident and police are working to find the driver and car that struck the vehicle his parents were in. A check on the markets now as we wrapped up the week on a quiet note. Final settlements from Friday trade coming up. We'll begin, though, with market commentary from Brian Basting. I spoke with him in the middle of the session. Once again, quiet markets in the grains, corn and wheat, not much movement at all on Friday. And the bean market tries to claw back the minimal losses from Thursday, so some gains there and gains in the soy complex. But Brian, overall, we are just waiting for Monday's USDA updates.
Thanks for having me, Andy. I would agree that at noon Monday, the 12th, we'll get 4 reports from USDA. We'll get the monthly supply-demand report. We'll also get an annual crop production report. That'll give us final yields and production from those 2025 crops last fall. We'll get a quarterly grain stocks report. It only comes out 4 times a year. And then we'll get our first survey-based estimate of winter wheat seedings for 2026. So busy day. And historically, there has been frequently, not every year, but frequently, some increased price volatility associated with these reports. So I'd encourage your listeners to have their risk management positions in place prior to release of those reports on noon on Monday the 12th. But you know, for the next day or so here, or at least prior to the report on Monday, a lot of position evening, a lot of positioning before those reports. So I think that that's what we're seeing at the moment.
As we do look back at the week in the markets, anything that did stick out as interesting? I was a bit surprised at some of the soybean futures moves higher, a little bit more than what I would have expected in light volume and that positioning that was taking place.
Yeah, we've seen such a precipitous drop in the bean market. You go all the way back to mid-November, and January futures, for example, were pushing $11.75 a bushel back then, and the market just fell to pieces there in December. So I think what we're seeing now is some short covering before the reports, people basically taking profits on those short positions, which were, unfortunately, from a producer standpoint, quite profitable. The market dropped over $1.50 from that high that was made in mid-November.
Our thanks to Brian Basting of Advanced Trading for his market insights. Get Brian on the phone at 309-664-2314. Settlements from Friday trade down a quarter cent on the March, May, and July corn contracts. March goes to 445 and three quarters, May 453 and three quarters, July 460 and a quarter. A penny and a quarter higher March and May soybeans, 1062 and a half for March, May 1074 and a half. Fractionally lower in the wheat market with March 517 and a quarter down three quarters and May down a quarter 528 and three quarters. Meats lower too. February live cattle 233.72 down 155. February lean hogs 85.30 down 57. That's it for the markets. Weather and more hat news still on the way from Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag This Week.
Attention construction pros. Purple Wave Auction brings quality equipment to your fingertips. Join our bi-weekly online auctions featuring dozers, excavators, loaders, and more. We provide detailed listings, photos, and seller contact info. Inspect online or in person. With our no reserve policy, every item sells to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com today and see why informed builders choose Purple Wave. Transparent processes, real deals, your next great purchase awaits. purplewave.com.
We've got yo-yos flying all over the state of Indiana this weekend, and it's not the national championships. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast Weekend Edition. What I'm talking about here is the swinging back and forth of Mother Nature's personality with regard to what season we are in. Tell you what, the past 2 days, Thursday and Friday of this week, a guy like me was thrilled. Temperatures, you wake up and go out to start the car on Friday morning. Shoot, it doesn't even need started. It was a spring morning, and here we are with cold air coming back for the weekend. But wait! It's not sticking around. We see spring-like temperatures back on Tuesday. But no, they're gone again Wednesday forward. I tell you what, it's going to be an interesting ride here. Let's kind of walk through what Mother Nature has for us. Here for your Saturday, we're dealing with the true cold front that's going to be changing the pattern here for the weekend coming through right away. We actually started with some very warm temperatures and some very breezy conditions still early today, but the breezes will turn to the northwest here through midday and afternoon. Strong, blustery winds coming in as we move through afternoon, evening, and overnight. Because of this, again, we have to allow for some rain and wet snow, both rain mostly down in the south and southeast. If we see wet snowflakes mixing in at all, I believe it's going to be northwest, north central Indiana. Maybe we get a little bit into central as well. But the crux or the heart of the coldest air doesn't come in until probably this evening and into the overnight. So that's why I think most precipitation is going to stay liquid. Moving through the rest of tomorrow, Arctic high pressure sitting right on top of us. We are chilly. We're back down to either where we should be or even a bit below normal. However, as the chill holds on Monday, we're starting to see south flow come up the backside of high pressure. So we're going to be seeing temperatures on Monday not quite as cold as tomorrow. And then Tuesday, yay, spring is here. South flow takes temperatures way up again. And it's going to be a beautiful start to the Fort Wayne Farm Show. That is your day to go. If you want to travel and travel in spring-like weather, Tuesday is the day. Now, there may be some fog around, maybe some increase in clouds because the warm air and cold air are still battling, but you get the idea. Very nice day. Cold air comes back for Wednesday forward, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. In this cold air initially, we see scattered snow showers trying to move through for Wednesday and probably the first half of Thursday. They're not lake-enhanced, the snow showers. It's just snow getting wrung out of the atmosphere, moisture getting wrung out by the extreme air mass change. We are quite chilly and stay chilly through Friday, even though we're a bit drier there. The weekend, we see a reinforcing shot of cold air come down, and that's going to stay here to start next week, Monday the 19th. Another warm air surge tries to happen midweek next week. I'm Ryan Martin.
Show your support for Indiana FFA by attending the Blue and Gold Gala. It's Saturday, February 28th at the Barn at Bay Horse Inn in Greenwood. The evening begins with a cocktail reception and silent auction at 5, dinner at 6, and a live auction to cap off the night. All proceeds benefit Indiana FFA. Join us as we support ag education and career development for Indiana's next generation of ag leaders. For more information and to reserve your seats, visit INFFA.org.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and a bill at the Indiana State House that aims to make kids healthier is sparking debate about ultra-processed foods and where pork fits into that definition. Eric Pfeiffer joins us now from the State House.
Thanks, CJ. Marion County Republican Julie McGuire has introduced House Bill 1137, which states that public schools can't serve or sell an ultra-processed food or beverage on school days. There are 13 ingredients that show up on McGuire's banned list.
If you have a nutrient-dense food like sausage or something, and one of the chemicals in the list that they talked about today was BHT, and we use BHT when we process some of our products because it helps fat from going rancid.
That's Indiana Pork Executive Director Josh Trenary, who says pork, obviously, isn't like what this bill should be targeting. Junk food.
Well, there's very different types of processing out there, and if you're using processing technology or a chemical to make a nutrient-dense food like a pork product more shelf-stable or to maintain its nutrient availability, or increase its shelf life, then what you're doing is you're helping the consumer have access to that nutrient-dense food.
Trenary says the simple fix to this bill is to consider the context and reasoning for the processing and what kind of food is being processed. He says that's just as important as the chemicals you're using to process it.
And if there are health risks inherent in a product and our kids shouldn't be consuming that product, philosophically, that's not the thing we have a problem with. The problem comes when you're only relying on that list of additives and nothing else to determine what should be regulated in that fashion.
Trenary talks more about how this bill could impact the definition of ultra-processed foods at the national level in the Full Hat interview at HoosierAgToday.com. From the State House, I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
As farmers enter another year of production, trying to make it better than a break-even operation, one expert tells Hoosier Ag Today you should take a hard look at that cost of production. Andy Eubank has the story.
Producers don't have a lot of levers, but they got to think about their fixed costs, their machinery costs, their land costs, family living. How can they get those adjusted to try to get themselves right sized for the profitability story?
That's Agricultural Economic Insights managing partner David Widmar. He adds the big piece is farmland.
Farmland is sort of the final mechanism. When we have profits in the sector, we bid up farmland values, and then we have losses, we tend to adjust, and farmland is one of those big adjustments.
In their recent report that used Indiana data, AEI concluded cash rents are really high relative to profitability, especially contribution margin.
We have revenue, we have variable costs, and then contribution margin is what we use to pay rent, what we use to pay our family living, we use to service our debt. But cash rents in Indiana are more than budgeted contribution margin. What does that mean? It's that we don't have anything left to pay our machinery, ourselves, our family, our debt. And so that's a tough spot. We see some adjustment maybe coming in that way. And then the second piece is that farmland is at a really low capitalization rate. So it's at a 2.2% cap rate. That's cash rents divided by the value. Think about it this way, you can go put it into a 10-year treasury or savings account and get something more like 3.5% or 4%. So investors keep putting money in farmland at a 2% projection whenever there's other assets doing better. So the farmland market's going to have to adjust to that as well.
Widmar says you might need to consider walking away from a cash rent deal if it just doesn't make sense. And that can be a very hard move to make. But he encourages you to have difficult renegotiation conversations where needed.
I think most farmers struggle a lot with that. That's a very personal conversation. It's kind of like saying, I can't afford this. And so that's a very intimate conversation. But I think what we need to think about is we need to bid this asset that we're going to utilize based on the conditions that are prevailing in the farm economy.
Hear more from Widmar about how to have those conversations at our website. I'm Andy Eubank.
And a big fundraiser for Indiana FFA is fast approaching, and it's your chance to show your support.
Our Blue and Gold Gala is on February 28th. It is at the Barn at Bay Horse Inn in Greenwood, Indiana.
And that's Anna Arians, Development Coordinator with the Indiana FFA Foundation. The evening begins with a cocktail reception and silent auction at 5 o'clock. Dinner is at 6 o'clock, and they'll have a live auction to cap off the night. If you're a business owner or a manager, you can sponsor a table for the evening.
We can go anywhere from a platinum table sponsorship, which gets you three tables. Platinum starts at $8,000. Gold is two tables, and that's $5,000. And then silver, which is our most common, is one table, and that's $2,500. And then bronze is $1,500. Obviously, we are 501c3, so that would be a tax deduction for those businesses as well.
You can also buy individual tickets for $125 each. And Anna adds that the purchase of your table or ticket is also an investment in the next generation of Indiana's ag leaders.
Our communities need those grounded, dependable individuals that are willing to serve, and FFA produces those. So an investment in these students is an investment in our community and our future leadership.
Once again, mark your calendar, Saturday, February 28th, as the Indiana FFA Foundation sponsors the Blue and Gold Gala at the Barn at Bay Horse Inn in Greenwood, which is located at 1468 West Stones Crossing Road. For more information and to purchase your table and tickets, visit INFFA.org. And speaking of Indiana FFA, their annual benefit auction is coming up this week at the Fort Wayne Farm Show. In fact, they'll have two separate auctions. The first one, Tuesday, January 13th at 1 o'clock Eastern. The second one, Wednesday, January 14th at 1 o'clock Eastern. And one of the main items that you can place your bid on during this year's auction is a Kubota RTV 520 4x4 UTV. So once again, make sure to place your bid on that item this week at the Fort Wayne Farm Show to raise money for Indiana FFA. Coming up, you'll meet the brand new Indiana State Fair Queen for 2026, and you'll meet the newly named Executive Director of the Indiana State Fair Commission. I'm C.J. Miller with Hoosier Ag Today. You're listening to Hoosier Ag This Week.
Ag Bioscience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
With our experience with AI so far, it really makes the human researcher more powerful. It makes the producer more powerful, and they really need to work together. And if you can work together and harness that ability to look at data and analyze and build models with the intuitiveness of good human people at the production level and at the research level, the opportunities are limitless. And I think we're going to continue to really open up new solutions, new innovations that go back into one health, that are more natural and make a lighter impact on the planet. And we can find those things through the assistance of AI and be able to commercialize those at a much faster rate.
Get more episodes online at agrinovisindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you again for joining us here on Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm C.J. Miller with Hoosier Ag Today. And last year, we told you all about a bill that was introduced by State Representative Rob Green that would provide greater protections for farms that have been in the same family for more than 100 years. That bill would make it far more challenging for local governments to seize those farms through eminent domain.
I think it should be more than a metal sign, and it just strikes me that this is just a no-brainer to do for the preservation of farmland.
And that's Representative Green referring to those blue Hoosier Homestead signs that you see in front of a farm that's been in the same family for many generations.
The original intent of the bill came from constituents in my district who had dealt with an eminent domain issue. They had a centennial farm along the I-65 corridor. And at the last minute, there was a federal highway regulation that prevented their eminent domain process from moving forward, so they were able to keep the farm. But they reached out to me and said, we go through this process to register our farm that we've kept in our family for 4, 5, 6 generations at times. I don't see any protections for these farms, and all we get is a metal sign. And I said, well, that doesn't seem right to me.
That bill passed unanimously in the Indiana House last year, but stalled in the state Senate. That's why Green has filed House Bill 1105, which is similar to last year's bill, but he says those protections come about in a different way.
I said, well, let's make this as financially restrictive on anybody that's going to want to use eminent domain against a heritage farm. And so we upped it so that it's the greater of 200% of fair market value or replacement costs, as well as replacement costs to be able to relocate. So the intent of that was, if there's a local body that's looking to use eminent domain, I wanted to make this as financially onerous on them as possible to have that protection there for these farms that they look elsewhere.
Read more about House Bill 1105 at HoosierAgToday.com. When the Indiana State Fair returns this summer, a young lady from southern Indiana will be wearing the crown and sash as this year's State Fair Queen.
Shock was definitely the first thing that went through my head.
And that's Presley Hampton from Jackson County, who told Hoosier Ag Today the reaction that she felt when she was crowned as this year's Indiana State Fair Queen on Sunday. She's a graduate of Brownstown Central High School and is now a student at Purdue University.
I'm currently studying selling and sales management. I just switched that, but I was under marketing. So I'm so excited to incorporate that into my title as Miss Indiana State Fair Queen.
So what is Presley looking forward to most about serving as this year's Indiana State Fair Queen?
Well, you know, as a 10-year 4-H member, I sewed, so I understand how important, how much effort goes into 4-H projects. And I love going to every single event in my county, not even as queen. I went to every single one before, and I will continue to go for years. So I think I'm excited to experience all of them as the State Fair Queen.
And what is her favorite food at the Indiana State Fair?
Oh my goodness. Here recently it's been pickle pizza, but I just have a Dubai chocolate cronut. It's like a croissant, and then it has a cookie in it and a pistachio. That was really good.
You can watch my full interview with Presley Hampton, this year's Miss Indiana State Fair. You can also see the list of top 16 finalists and see photos from the pageant. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. And speaking of the Indiana State Fair, they'll soon have a new executive director at the helm.
I started here as a 19-year-old college intern with no real connection to the fair other than attending it as a child. And I fell in love with the Indiana State Fair and what it means to this state, to our community, and everything that it stands for.
And that's Ray Allison, who officially takes over the new role on April 1st. Cindy Hoy, the current executive director, is set to retire March 31st after serving in that role for more than 20 years.
Cindy is quite honestly a legend, right? Here at the Indiana State Fair, but also in the fair industry, around the country and around the world. Huge shoes to fill. But I've had the great fortune of working with Cindy for more than 30 years. You know, I worked for her when she was our marketing director back in the 90s. I've been a member of our executive team for about 11 years now. So I've had the great pleasure of learning under her and watching her lead and how she's really transformed this organization from the early days of the State Fair Commission into this dynamic year-round business that we operate today.
Ray says that Cindy has also paved the path for the future of the Indiana State Fairgrounds and Event Center.
We've got a great product here in the Indiana State Fair, and we've turned our year-round business into this dynamic, thriving business that is multifaceted, right? 400 events on the campus throughout the year, where we started track and field when we renovated the Fall Creek Pavilion. You know, we just continue to grow, we continue to evolve, and I just look forward to building upon that. This is an organization, this is a place that means so much to so many people. It's a big responsibility to take the lead and to make this place better than what I found it, and that's the way Cindy's operated all these years, and I look forward to continuing that.
Check out my video interview with Ray Allison as he shares more about the future of the Indiana State Fairgrounds and Event Center. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you this week out at the Fort Wayne Farm Show Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. In fact, Hoosier Ag Today will be there in full force this year. Stop by our booth, which is going to be in the lobby of the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum. And we're sharing our booth this year with our proud radio affiliates in Fort Wayne, US 93.3. So come by, say hi. We'll look forward to seeing you at the Fort Wayne Farm Show this week. Well, that puts a bow on this week's edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. If you missed any portion of today's show, download the podcast version. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. For Eric Pfeiffer, Andy Eubank, Greg Allen, and Hoosier Ag Today's chief meteorologist, Ryan Martin, I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.